Good evening and welcome to Charla Comunitaria. This is your host, Audrey Ortiz, and I have with me today a distinguished guest. Her name is Carol Obando Durstein. Carol, welcome to Charla Comunitaria.
I'm so happy to be here, Aurea. Thank you for the invitation.
No, I am blessed that you're here. And before we get into the questions and all that, I always ask my guests more about them. And you as a person, I know you, and you, I know that you're a wonderful human being. And I want our listeners to also hear from your voice, you know, what do you do, your family, anything that you want to share with us as a person.
Thank you. Yes, well, I am a community member for over two decades here. I have extensive community work experience. I've run nonprofit organizations, so I've led organizations, and I've really given back in significant ways to the community because I care about being here. I care about the people that live here. I also have federal legislative branch experience since I worked for Senator Casey here in the district. I represented him. I was his regional manager and statewide Latino Affairs advisor, where day in and day out, we connected people to the services they needed. And then for almost the past decade, I worked at PPL. I started off in community relations, so I help seniors and low-income families reduce their energy bills. I help direct funding through grants to nonprofits that were promoting science, technology, engineering, and math. And then at the age of 43, because I was so interested in energy, I wanted to learn more. I went back to school. I went to Lehigh University to study energy systems engineering. So I'm someone that has extensive community work plus policy experience and then energy and infrastructure know-how.
Wow. What inspired you personally to run for Congress, and how has your family's story influenced your decision?
Muy buena pregunta. Thank you for asking that. Great question. I was just tired of seeing working families struggle while politicians make things worse for them by voting to cut health care, food assistance, and raising prices while giving trillions in tax cuts to billionaires, and that's not right. And my family history is one of being an immigrant, and I understand the struggles that working families face because I've lived them. Yo los viví. So I understand financial hardships, language barriers, and sacrifices. I just couldn't sit on the sidelines. To me, that just is not who I am. I don't sit on the sidelines while I see so much suffering. I get in there, I try to make a difference.
As the first Latina candidate for the 7th District, what does this milestone mean to you, and how do you hope your candidacy will impact our community?
I know a lot of people use the phrase representation matters, but it's true. Representation does matter. Having the opportunities to elevate stories, experiences at the national level from folks that oftentimes feel ignored. I have felt that way in the past. I felt like my life experiences, my family's life experiences, weren't things that were talked about or advocated for. So that matters to me, and I know it matters to countless families here. I grew up, like I said, with a lot of financial hardships, language barriers. My parents were both in unions. My mom worked in a factory. She was a machine operator, and my dad was a technician in hospitals. You know, these were hardworking families I grew up seeing and knowing, and that's what we need. We need a fighter in Congress that understands those challenges and will speak up for them and will defend them and will advocate for policies that really help them get ahead. I have always, my whole life, my whole career has been about helping people help themselves, helping people get ahead. And that's the type of energy and fight that we need from people that are choosing public service as a career option. It is someone that has that fight, that desire to stand up for families, working families, and grow the middle class. That's what we need. We need more opportunities and to defend the American way of life and our Constitution.
As a Latina candidate, you know, our district is very diverse, mm-hmm. right? So how do you plan to ensure that the voices of all members in such a diverse district are heard and represented.
There's so many ways that we can do this if you're an elected official. Go to them. Go to places where there's Latinos and other folks, diverse communities. Show up. Listen to learn. I'll give you an example. I stayed the whole time at the Puerto Rican Festival, and I talked to countless families because I'm listening to learn. I showed up at the International Cultural Festival a couple months ago at Bucky Boyle Park in Allentown, and I'm meeting folks. I'm meeting families. I'm talking to them. I'm trying to show that I am that problem solver. I'm a problem solver that brings people together. That's what I've always done my whole life, and it's about listening. When you're an elected official, it's about hiring staff that represents the community. It's about being really intentional about making sure that your policies are really responsive to the needs, that you're not just in an echo chamber, that you're just hearing from a couple people in the community. You're hearing from a lot of people. You're being intentional about representing them. And that's the type of person that I've always been, and that's the type of energy that I will bring to Congress. Yo soy alguien que siempre ha estado en la comunidad. Yo tengo pasión para mi comunidad, y es importante poder escuchar y ir a sitios donde hay personas que representan toda la comunidad y escuchar y ir siempre con la meta de escuchar y escuchar para tratar de buscar cómo resolver los retos que ellos tienen. Y también es tener un staff que refleja en realidad toda la comunidad.
Como nosotros estamos hablando cuando cambiamos la pregunta de español, era para eso, y tú me contestaste muy bien en ambos idiomas. Una de las cosas que las personas en nuestro distrito, como es diverso, se preguntan, ok, es latina, y yo soy, vamos a ver, yo soy afroamericano, yo soy de otra cultura. Uh-huh. ¿Cómo entonces una persona latina me puede ayudar a mí? Y entonces tú realmente, ilustremente, estás comunicándonos que esto no es relacionado a raza, ni esto es relacionado a personas, uh-huh. Esto es relacionado a cuáles son las necesidades de nuestra comunidad y cómo cada comunidad, dentro de su diversidad, uh-huh. que es intensa, una persona latina como tú puede servir, sí. Porque usualmente no nos ponen tags que nos dicen, no, es latina. Sí, pero uh-huh. es latina, pero tiene su educación, tiene su propósito, que es ayudar a la comunidad en su totalidad. No es tan solo dirigido hacia una sola comunidad, porque es dirigido a todas todos. Las personas que están en estos momentos sufriendo de tantas necesidades. Uh-huh. Así que yo te felicito en esa
Thank you. Yes, parte. I'm definitely committed to representing the entire community. I've shown that in my work history. I have over 2 decades here in the Lehigh Valley. Yo tengo más de 2 décadas aquí en el Valle de Lehigh, standing up for families, working alongside them. I always say, I understand the struggles that working families face because I've lived them, but I also know the strengths of our community because I've worked alongside them.
Y no tan solo eso, cuando una estudiante, no importando su raza, está en la escuela y está diciendo, caramba, mira, ya se atrevió a ir con sus pantalones, fue y dijo, no, yo voy a ponerme aquí enfrente y decir, yo voy a aceptar el reto. Uh-huh. Es difícil, ¿verdad? Porque vamos a tener tanta gente no queriendo que nosotros lleguemos a ese lugar, pero la comunidad entiende y la comunidad ve a través de un filtro. La comunidad entiende cuando tú eres genuino, cuando tú estás diciendo, mira, yo voy a donde ti, no me importa. No importa si tú eres hispano, si tú no lo eres, yo lo que quiero es que tú tengas una mejor vida. Y los niños, exacto. Y las niñas, cuando te vean, dicen, caramba, si ella pudo, nosotros también podemos. Right. O sea, no hay obstáculo, uh-huh. si nosotros realmente tenemos ese interés genuino de servir a nuestra comunidad.
Yeah. Y me gusta mucho que usted empezó la charla diciendo que usted me ha conocido y por muchos años. Entonces, usted es como a trusted person, que usted puede, usted le está contando al público que usted me ha visto en realidad ayudar. Yo no estoy aquí llegando de última hora pidiendo apoyo.
No.
Yo he estado en la comunidad demostrando el amor. Por mi, por
y,
mi gente.
Y una cosa yo digo, yo nunca...
De todo el distrito.
¿Cómo se llama? Yo nunca hablo de una persona si yo no la conozco. Ni le digo que tiene algún tipo de elemento que ayude a la comunidad si yo no he visto que esa persona tenga. Y yo te he visto a ti en la comunidad anteriormente y visto cómo tú nos has ayudado en muchas otras formas. O sea, esto no es endosos ni nada de esas cosas. Esto es simplemente decir que conozco a esta persona que ha servido a nuestra comunidad en todas las fases, que no está exagerando en lo que ha hecho, sino que ha hecho esto por nuestra comunidad. Y yo te agradezco tu servicio a nuestra comunidad.
Gracias, Aurea.
Now, going back, another question, and like we were talking, there's challenges everywhere. I mean, yeah. I get a challenge even to get up, but there's challenges everywhere. So what specific challenges have you witnessed or experience in the district that you are most determined to address?
What we're seeing is real chaos, and prices keep going up, wages are not keeping pace, and it's harder for families to stay afloat. That's what I'm seeing. I'm very cognizant of the, I talk about it all the time, the report that the United Way put out for ALICE families. It's a report that they produce on an annual basis, and ALICE stands for Asset Limited Income Constrained Employed. These are families that they aren't in poverty. They don't fall within the definition of poverty, but they're above that. They're working, but they're still having trouble making ends meet. They're having trouble paying for housing, healthcare, groceries, utilities, childcare, transportation, etc. So those are the challenges. Affordability of everyday life is what I see. And the United Way's report of ALICE families found that in total, the families that are within poverty or within that category of being in ALICE, that there's 124,000 households here in the 7th District that are having trouble paying the essential housing, healthcare, groceries, utilities, and childcare. But when you start looking at the numbers more closely, you find that it's 62% of Latinos and African Americans, households that are having trouble making ends meet. So a whole 20% more. So when the economy gets worse, it impacts Latino communities and African American communities worse. And that's an important, so, you know, the affordability issue is something across all races and genders and ethnicities. But those nuances are important to point out.
Yo te digo, como retirada, 65 años, I'm retired, 65 years old. Oh, my goodness. After I left my job and said, whoa, I'm going to retire, I'm going to drink my little piña colada. So now I am listening to you, and I'm feeling it. I mean, the electric bills are going so up.
Yes.
Everything is getting high, and my little check and my pension is staying the same. So what we really, really need as retired people, you know, is, you know, hey, help.
Exactly.
Because we're kind of like struggling a lot. So it's good that at least someone is telling us that they're going to be helping us in a way that we could improve our way of life. Now,
but I also want to just point out that it's using data-driven decision-making, you know, to have someone that understands this and researches and comes from a place of presenting facts and figures. That's what I bring to the table. I am someone that is always looking for facts and figures. I'm not going and talking about things because it's like how I feel. Is you have to come from a position of having researched this and knowing what you're talking about and have the experience of having worked with families. I have that background. So that's the type of energy that I put out and the approach that I bring to everything, to every problem. It's data-driven decision-making process.
And on that note, I'm going to take a small break, and we're going to be coming back really, really soon. You're listening to Charla Comunitaria. This is Aurea Ortiz.
For the past 3 decades, WDIY has sustained itself through direct contributions from listeners. Our model is simple. The people who listen to the service are the ones who support the service. As WDIY celebrates its landmark 30th anniversary, we invite you to join us as a WDIY member by making a membership gift today. This is something you could do right now to make a meaningful difference in your community. Call 610-694-8100 extension 4 or online at wdiy.org.
Good evening and welcome back to Charla Comunitaria. I'm still here with my guest, Caro Obando Terstein. And we were getting into the data-driven research that she has always been doing through her entire career. And I just want to kind of dig in into what does she mean by data-driven, and can she explain? Can she talk more about that?
Yeah. Thank you, Audia. Yeah, I was mentioning the report that the United Way put out on the Alice families, but it's not just that. I also draw so much on my personal experience of Audia didn't remember this, but I actually had started my career as a child therapist. So, and also my own personal background of understanding the struggles because I came here as an immigrant. I understand struggles, sacrifices, language barrier. So I draw on all those experiences. And I'll just give you an example. On the campaign trail, I talk a lot about my friend Giovanna, who I lost at the age of 22. She died because she couldn't afford the health care she needed. So when I talk about these issues, I don't see them as political. I don't see them as abstract. I see them as real. I see them as, you know, when I talk about health care, I talk and having people have access to affordable health care. I think about Giovanna and countless other families that I've met for over 2 decades that I've lived here. I met so many families, for example, working for Senator Casey. I represented him as his regional manager and statewide Latino affairs advisor. So day in and day out, I was meeting folks. I was connecting them to the services they needed. I was hearing about the struggles and the challenges, and I was making recommendations to the senator for what could be done to help countless families here. And that's the type of energy and the passion and the experience that I'm leveraging with this position that I'm running for. Because I should say, at the end of the day, it's about servant leadership. That's, I've always believed that. I'm a woman of faith, and I believe in very, very wholeheartedly that concept of servant leadership.
Caro, en español ahora, eso mismo que tú me estabas diciendo en inglés, porque yo sé que tú eres una persona de datos y que tú no, eso no te lo inventas así del cerebro, ahí llegó. No, sino que tú vas directo y entiendes las necesidades, entonces vas y buscas información y tratas de estar al día con uh-huh. todas las cosas. Uh-huh. Pero tú me estás también diciendo de que te ha tocado muy personal en tu vida privada, este concepto de que de las personas no tener un buen sistema de salud.
Sí.
Cuéntame un poquito sobre eso.
Sí, yo lo que yo hago es me informo y yo investigo las situaciones y los problemas, pero también uso mucho lo que he aprendido en mi pasado. Y le estaba mencionando de una persona que yo quise mucho, Giovanna, que la falleció a los 22 años porque ella no podía pagar para cuidado de salud. Y para mí eso no es como político, eso es real. Uh-huh. Yo me acuerdo de ella y me duele mucho todavía, aún todos estos años después. Y eso es lo que yo traigo, esas experiencias de las personas con quien yo he trabajado a través de décadas. Y mi misma familia y todas las experiencias de cómo fue cuando llegamos aquí a este país y todos los retos económicos, las barreras del lenguaje y los sacrificios que hicimos para tratar de salir adelante. Todo eso me informa y eso es lo que me motiva para luchar para nuestras familias, para que ellos salgan adelante.
Gracias por tu sinceridad, porque muchas familias están sufriendo. Uh-huh. Y al escuchar esto, tenemos a un ser humano que está tratando de ver cómo entra en esta esfera que es tan difícil, yeah. que es pues el sistema de gobierno nuestro y cómo servir a nuestra comunidad. Así que te felicito por al menos tomarte y tener los pantalones, como uno dice en nuestro idioma, para ir y recibir los cantazos que otros no se atreven. Otros pueden venir y decir, aquella persona, yo no entiendo eso, porque ella se está haciendo esto. Y lo que estoy viendo ahora y lo que estoy mirando es una persona íntegra que quiere hacer una diferencia, uh-huh. entiende todos los retos, pero aún así...
Y los ha vivido.
Exacto. Uh-huh. Y aún así, dentro de los retos otros que faltan, quiere hacerse conocer para que las personas entiendan que como ser humano, está buscando la forma de ayudar a otros seres humanos, que somos todos nosotros. Tú sabías decir que te agradezco que seas genuina en ese sentido. Y porque ya las personas estamos cansados de personas que vienen y dicen que van a hacer algo y luego simplemente se olvidan.
Right.
Y eso es lo que nosotros queremos en esos cambios. Y te agradezco que estés en ese sistema. Now, going back and you know, because we stood there and it was wonderful that we were able to understand that you as a human being and your aspirations of this position is not just being there or being a politician, and your aspiration is deeper than that.
Yes.
And that people are sometimes hungry of those intentions. What are your top priorities for strengthening our educational programs and supporting economic development in the 7th district? En español también, ¿cuáles son tus prioridades de fortalecer nuestro sistema y nuestros programas educativos y también ayudarnos en nuestra economía en este distrito número 7?
I'll say it in English first. What I'm seeing are attacks on public education and at the federal level, trying to dismantle the Department of Education and right now trying to lay off a lot of folks in the Department of Education, particular like the special education staff. And we need fighters. We need fighters that will stand up, and we need fighters that are going to speak up for vulnerable communities. And right now, I have experience as a child therapist. I would go to schools, and I was a therapeutic staff support and also a mobile therapist and a behavior specialist consultant after I graduated with my master's degree in community psychology and social change. So I worked with a lot of families that had neurodivergent children. They were on the autism spectrum. I am horrified that there are these ideas that are and plans that are trying to be implemented to weaken public education. So we need a fighter. We need someone that understands those nuances. We need folks that understand that children should be in schools that are free of harassment and discrimination. And right now, that's also under attack. So we need someone that gets it, that has worked in the educational school system, public school system, and that wants to protect it, because public education is for everybody. And we need a well-educated community to be able to give kids chances to reach their full potential. That's what happened to me. Education was my way to help myself achieve the American dream. And we need that for countless other families that can't afford private education. They can't afford to pay tuition in a private school. We need public schools that work for everybody.
And when you mention a special education, and I have to, I'm an advocate of special education, so... My son has a disability, so that's why I advocate for special education. And I understand that many of the things that he was able to accomplish was based on the services that he received that were good services through the Bethlehem School District and the funding that was implemented for those services. He would not be able to have achieved to have a bachelor's degree and to be able to understand and learn and work if those services were not there. So fighting for special education is something that we, at least me as an advocate in the community for special education, believe that that is one key issue that I'm that I always look and see if people are talking about, because every day that a special needs child loses without services is more than 2 years of the learning experiences that they get. So to me, that's just kind of delaying the educational system for people that are vulnerable. And that is something that I believe every person in the United States understand, because all of us, doesn't matter if we're rich or poor or in the middle, we all have one person that has special needs, and we care about education for special needs. So thank you for advocating for special needs.
Yeah, and there's a responsibility there that Pastor Greg Edwards, when he ran in 2018, he had a phrase that he often said. He said, it's either all of us or none of us. And that's the mentality that I have. And that's the spirit in which I approach this work. It's either all of us or none of us. And because I have that experience of having worked in schools and have seen the accommodations that are necessary for a lot of different kids that are in the school system, not every kid is the same. There's no cookie cutter, you know, approach. We have to ensure that we can build the support systems around them that help them have the best outcomes and help them help themselves and reach their full potential. That's what I'm about, is helping people achieve their full potential.
And I think we're kind of fooling ourselves if we denied health services, if we denied education, that we're going to have a better society. Because when you deny health services, the person will get sick, and you're going to get sick eventually too. Mm-hmm. So It is not about me protecting myself only. It's protecting about our community, because, you know, we all live here.
That's right. You know, we're all interconnected.
This is not like I am a little bubble and nothing's going to get to me. Mm-hmm. And if we make a school being bad school, then we create public badness to our community. Yeah. Like crime starts and all
exactly.
that stuff.
Exactly. But, like this, the kids have, they just have better educational outcomes. They maybe continue in higher ed and maybe, you know, continue with a career in tech school or community college or 4 year. They get jobs. They are less likely to be in the criminal justice system and purchase homes and being a good
productive citizen.
Yeah, yes. Productive citizens to our community, and that's what we want. We want to create opportunities for people to do that and pathways for success.
How can listeners and community members best engage with you and participate in shaping the future of our district?
I want people to contact me. I have a website. It's carol4pa.com, and the four is the word, F-O-R. So it's carol4pa.com. There's social media, so I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Blue Sky X, and LinkedIn. Just reach out. Just go to my website. You can also email me at info@carol4pa.com. I would love for people to donate their time, talent, and treasure. That's great. Just connect with me. I want to hear from you. I want to just be the best that I can be by really listening to what the challenges are and working together on finding solutions. That's what I'm about.
Anything that you want to tell people in just this half a minute? Anything else that you want to add?
I just want to reiterate that I understand the struggles that working families face because I myself had lived them, but I also know the strengths of our community because I've worked alongside them. I'm not a political insider with an agenda. I'm someone from the community that cares, that wants to give back, that wants to use all the stuff that I've done in community work and policy experience, having worked for a federal senator, and then the last almost decade having worked at an electric utility, helping seniors and low-income families reduce their energy bills, helping to promote STEM education, helping to connect renewable energy companies to the grid. I'm using all that to benefit our district, to just take that experience to the next level and give back. That's what I'm about.
Carol Obando Thurstein, thank you for your time. And thank you for daring to go against all odds. and for being part of our community. And thank you for being here in Charla Comunitaria. It's our honor to have you here.
Thank you, Aurea. Yeah, we deserve better. And that's what I'm trying to do, just make sure that we have better opportunities for everybody.
You're listening to Charla Comunitaria. This is your host, Aurea Ortiz. Thank you for listening.